What if disappointment only made you more determined? What if you saw all disappointments and failure and mistakes and rejections as interesting and fascinating learning experiences and creative dynamic life experiments? What if every step of the creative process was its own desired outcome and destination? Doesn't that make you want to try everything? Welcome back to Bamboo and Glass, a space where we share underrepresented perspectives that shape our lifelong journey of learning and unlearning. I'm one of the co-hosts, Tan, and today is a unusual episode. My co-host, Sophia, who I'm sure you all miss hearing her voice, she actually recently came down with a cold, and so her voice hasn't been in the most top-notch, and so we were kind of figuring out what we could do for this episode because we didn't want to leave you hanging. I think this episode will be sort of a slew of updates from me of things that have been happening in April, things that I'm excited about in the community that's happening, as well as some personal updates of projects that I've been working on. April has kind of been a whirlwind, not gonna lie. We were on a good track with recording episodes and putting them out, and I think just life hit us. It was an exciting month for Bamboo and Glass because we got a chance to go to the Bay Area and go to Stanford University, which is my college, and we hosted a workshop with the Asian Women's Alliance. It was a workshop about learning and unlearning expectations in romantic relationships, and we got to share a lot of really cool stories and even share some stories that don't live on the podcast. And so it's kind of made us think a little bit more about how can we continue to evolve our content and give you more personal looks into our lives, as well as offer you valuable information that you can take in your day-to-day lives. It was really, really wonderful. Sophia flew in from Seattle and I ended up driving up from LA, which I had never done the full drive from LA to the Bay on my own, and so that was really exciting and a personal win for me. April was also a month of a lot of friendships, learning how to manage friendships alongside rest. Career, in some ways, kind of took a backseat, but funnily, the career aspect, even though it took a backseat, it wasn't completely stagnant. Things still moved along for me, which I think is a reminder to myself that I don't always have to be brute forcing and putting in extra conscious effort into my endeavors for me to reap the benefits and reap the fruits of my labor that have been put in from weeks or months ago even. There were so many celebrations. One of my best friends, Hillary, got engaged and I had the honor of being able to work with her now fiance to find out what ring she would like, and it was so beautiful to celebrate that. And I was finally able to see her in person because we also got to celebrate another dear friend's wedding. You may remember Rachel from our episode called Expectations of a Lifelong Caregiver. I got so emotional, y'all. This was my first wedding that I've ever been to, and when she walked in with her parents and the Kina Grannis song Can't Help Falling in Love started playing, I tried really, really hard to hold back my tears. It was so beautiful and so wonderful to see all of my amazing friends from college. And it did get me thinking because while it was such an incredible time to see people, especially since most of these people I have not seen during the pandemic, if not longer than the pandemic, it made me wonder about what assumptions we had about each other from, you know, the last time that we saw each other, which was probably when we graduated. What are some assumptions that we were making as we were so hyper-focused on celebrating this couple while making sure we each individually had a good time, but then also trying to come up with conversation starters, coming up with what is the last thing that I remember about each person and how can they kind of catch me up to speed. Most of these people were not physically present or I did not keep an active touch with them as I moved from tech into filmmaking, and so I found myself answering that question a lot of like, what led you to go into filmmaking? What led you to do some more content creation with your podcast? And it was interesting to be in that space again because these are all people I have such fond memories with, and it's kind of made me wonder, what kind of efforts and labor do I want to put into my friendships from even my past time, which is college. At the time that I'm recording this as well, it is Sarah Park's birthday. She has been on a couple of episodes. She was in our episode with Erica Berry, where we debated about Facetune and influencer culture, alongside her episode where she shares about her documentary that she made of her parents called A Portrait of Us. All of these episodes that I'm mentioning, I'll also link in the episode description. This is the first time I'm getting to celebrate her birthday in person, and so that is such a lovely memory to get to have with each other, and I am sort of out of practice of how do I celebrate people? How do I let people know that they are so worthy of overflowing love and friendship, and to remind them that even if, you know, things get in the way, life gets in the way, they are still someone that means a lot to me. And in some ways, in person makes it easier. But in some ways, being in person, it made me wonder, oh, how does she even want to spend time together? Most of our time, most of our friendship has been online because of the pandemic. And so this is a new territory for us. Sarah, I hope if you're listening to this, I hope you did have a wonderful birthday, and it was so wonderful to have you stay with us and to get to make new memories together. April is probably one of the first months where I made a conscious effort to focus on my friendships and relationships. I've always been someone who's very career-oriented, someone who tends to put myself first. I do believe that each person is the protagonist and the main character of their own story and their own show, and so I don't think it's selfish at all or conceited at all to want to put yourself first. But I think I kind of had this realization in 2022 as I am taking a break from school and putting some more effort into my own personal projects to kind of put that vote of confidence towards myself. It really made me wonder what friendships were going to last and how much effort do I put into friendships for me to feel that sense of fondness and closeness and intimacy with them. I think there was a point where I started feeling like I didn't really know who I would say are my close friends. I didn't really know with who I wanted to share all my updates with who I wanted to discuss my, not just my highs, but also my lows and be in conversation and in safe spaces with them. And so April just happened to be a time where I spent a little bit of it in the Bay. I spent a little bit of it at a wedding, and I'm spending a little bit of it with people coming over. It's been a time where I really had to put career in the back burner, and I was okay with it. I was actually very happy and relieved to be able to do that. But speaking of career, as a little update, I still don't know what I'm doing. That is something I want to normalize. It is totally possible to have a life that you are really happy with and content with, even if on paper things aren't going as planned. I would have to say that my day-to-day life has been feeling very abundant for me, even if I'm not making any money right now, even if I don't have a clear path or clear next steps. I've kind of thrown my name into a lot of different buckets right now. There are so many things I could be doing. They could be doing filmmaking, and even within filmmaking, there's so many different ways to go about it. I could be freelancing by going on sets all the time. I could be writing and trying to break into the writer's room. I could be applying for directing fellowships, or I could even be trying to fund my own short film. And that's all just in filmmaking. Outside of filmmaking, there's also always been tech. Tech is something that I've always kind of seen as a backup plan in a way. And I think that's something I can say with a lot of blessing and privilege of, I've been lately feeling like I miss using my technical side of my brain, but I've been trying to figure out in what ways do I want to use that technical side. A lot of it is creative problem solving, and I thought producing might be something I'd want to do, and I think it hits some of the check boxes, but not quite, and I have to do some soul searching myself to figure out what exactly those check boxes are for making me feel like I am using the technical side of my brain. And so tech is kind of the no-brainer answer for me since I have past experience in that. But I still crave doing creative work. So is there a possibility for me to have that work-life creative balance in a way where I could, you know, bring in some financial stability with the tech job and then go off and do creative work in my spare time where I do have enough energy to put into that alongside my family and friends and myself. And then, of course, there's podcasting. Podcasting has continued to be a very sustainable, life-giving endeavor, which I have all of you to thank alongside Sophia. And so, where do we go from here? Do I have to go in any particular direction? That's even another question. I was so used to growing up believing that you always have to aim higher, and you always have to go for a higher goal and reach a goal. And I think lately I've been kind of content with feeling like there is a peak that you can reach and a plateau, and it's okay to coast a little bit. It's okay to enjoy your time, relish the moment, instead of just conjuring up the next goal for yourself to be challenged with. There is always a time and place to do that, but I think because I did so much of that my whole life, I'm kind of tired of doing it. And I think that's okay. There will be a time where I'm sure I'm going to want to be challenged in new ways. And right now, it's just been really cool to experiment with different types of content, to be inspired by Life Kit as a podcast, and to see what our content can look like if we were to take inspiration from them. And I hope you all have been enjoying those episodes as well. If you ever have any suggestions of topics that you would like us to cover in a Life Kit-esque episode, definitely let us know. We're always happy to give our personal advice or tips and input into a topic. I hope that you all know that when we do share these tips, we're never saying that that's the end-all be-all. We're never saying that that's the right formula to be doing things. But we just hope that it can be an extra perspective for you to take in and see if it opens up maybe another perspective for you. I kind of want to go into some things happening in the community that I'm particularly really excited about. So, the first one is, you may remember the Kim Chingus from our episodes with them. They are a group of Korean diasporic women writers who are all in the midst of bringing out their debut books, which is so exciting. There is one that's coming out by Grace Shim. Her book is called The No Family. I actually had the pleasure of already reading it, and if you are a big dramatic K-drama fan, this is definitely the book for you. But not only is this book getting released on May 3rd at 4:30 p.m. Pacific time, there's actually going to be an IG live conversation with all of the Kim Chingus, and so their friendship is so beautiful, and I'm sure you probably heard that in the episode if you listened to it, and it'll be a chance to get to see them interact live and see their dynamic. It's really exciting to see all of their posts celebrating Grace and also celebrating Susan, whose book is coming out in November. And so if you're ever looking for any new books by Asian women authors, these are some that you might want to check out, and you'll get a chance to interact with them on Instagram. So that'll be happening, and I'll also, again, for all of these things, I'll put the link in the description below. On the topic of the Kim Chingus, the day that I'm recording this, on April 29th, this is actually the anniversary of the LA 1992 riots. In Korean, we call it Saigu, which literally translates to 429, and I want to remind you that we did an episode with Sarah Suk, who got to work with John Cho, yes, the actor John Cho, on his newest debut book, Troublemaker, which is about a 12-year-old boy who's in the middle of all of the LA riots that are happening. I think this is a really special book because I always wonder, how do you even talk about historical events with kids? And this is probably the one of the first of its kind to be made, and it's all told from a Korean boy's perspective who does end up interacting with all sorts of communities and people in LA. And so I would highly encourage you to check that out or look into the significance of this event. It hasn't been very long since it's happened. It's today is the 30th anniversary of that event. And on the topic of historical events, I was so excited to hear from NBC Asian America that the House in the US has unanimously passed the bill to create the first national Asian American and Pacific Islander Museum. I have no idea where it's going to be made, but I'm really excited to look into it and to look out for updates of when this happens. I've always been such an avid consumer of any exhibits that do feature Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders, and I got a chance to see a couple while I was living in New York City, and there's also a couple in LA, and I'm really excited that there's going to get to be a whole physical space dedicated, not going anywhere. It's not like a temporary thing. And so I hope any museum goers who missed the museums even from the pandemic, I hope you're excited to hear this news as well. I guess finally, my last update is that I have been actively producing the short film 철. You can follow us at 철 the film, C-H-E-O-L the film, on Instagram and on TikTok. I've been kind of not the biggest TikTok consumer. I know that Sophia in a previous episode has mentioned that she has TikTok time, like all the time on her bed and on her couch, and I'm not quite to that level, but what I do appreciate about TikTok is how easily discoverable things can be, much more so than Instagram, I would say. I've been able to encourage the writer-director, June, to put himself out there on TikTok and to share a little bit about the motivation behind the film, why he wants to make it, and the behind the scenes of the whole process. And so if you've ever been curious about real-time thoughts that are going into the making of a film, this is one that you might want to check out. We have just launched our Kickstarter. You can find it on 철 the film. I'm also really elated to share that Kickstarter has named it a project that they love, and so it's actually getting featured all over the Kickstarter page. And for this film, Sophia has actually given me some questions remotely so that I can answer them for you, tell you a little bit more about what this film is about and why I decided to join in. The story is about a Korean son who returns to his estranged father, bearing news that he'll be enlisting in the Korean military to consummate his manhood per his father's expectations. But then he ends up discovering his father's objection to his enlistment alongside his father's late-stage leukemia. So, this whole film is so juicy to me. There are two main reasons why I really gravitated towards this film. This whole film revolves around unpacking masculinity, toxic and not toxic masculinity, and what oftentimes goes into toxic masculinity is the hesitation to be vulnerable, the hesitation to outwardly share emotions. And that is something that this father and son grapple with throughout the whole film, especially as they're dealing with some really big life changes. Like, the son is about to go to the military, which is, it's considered a big rite of passage of manhood in Korea. And for the father, he is kind of being faced with his own mortality with late-stage leukemia. So there's a lot of high-stakes circumstances that are going into them realizing that they're not agreeing on the same subject. Another theme that I'm really excited to talk about is the mandatory enlistment in the Korean military. This kind of reminds me of our episodes where we did a little series about international students and visa workers, because we had John Su, who is a Korean-American, and he himself ended up choosing to go to the military and take some time off of school. The reason why this really struck me is because as a woman, this is actually one of the few privileges that I get to have as a Korean woman, and alongside that, as a American citizen. A lot of my Korean-American friends who happen to be male and also own Korean citizenship, they have to make a decision. They have to decide, one, when are they going to go to the military? And two, whether or not they will go to the military. And with that, will they keep or give up their Korean citizenship? Let me go into that a little bit further. For the first one, with when to go to the military, this has a lot of repercussions. When you are in the minority in American society, which is where you want your career to take place. In Korea, because all men have to go to the military, I think it's a little bit more accepted and normalized, and it's actually quite looked down upon if you don't go to the military. But in America, American citizens don't have that same duty or obligation placed on them. And so when I have some of my friends trying to decide when they are going to the military, it's really hard because by choosing to go to the military for 2 years, that is effectively 2 years taken away from your youth, 2 years taken away from your job, from the progress of your career, from a promotion. And in so many ways, you have to be kind of strategic about it. And some people may have dual citizenship, let's say, and may have the luxury of getting to choose whether or not they want to give up their Korean citizenship. But for some others, they may only have a green card or not even a green card, and so they do have to go to the military. And inevitably, if their career, they want that to be in America, that can be a really difficult pill to swallow. And so I'm really excited that we get to kind of shed light on this topic. If you're curious to learn more about the Korean military experience, I would highly recommend the K-drama DP. It's only 6 episodes. It was one of my favorite shows in 2021, but it's a very gritty, dark look into what this rite of passage of manhood can look like in Korea. I myself have not had the courage to ask my dad about it, but it is something that I'd always been curious about because I hear about it so much. I'm getting to work with such an incredible team. The writer-director has such a strong vision for this film. There are so many elements of mirrors, hair, just so many visual motifs that I'm really excited to get to see on the screen. And I'm also getting to work with 2 amazing producers as well. I have actually been the main person working on the Kickstarter, and boy, there's been so many learnings already, and I am really excited to be raising the funds for this film. But I will say, $20,000 is not a small amount of money, and so I do want to invite all of you, if you have the capacity or find any of this interesting, check out the Kickstarter link. I'll put it in the episode description, and share it out with your loved ones, anyone who might resonate with this topic, or give us a follow on TikTok and Instagram. And if you can, donate to us. We have a couple of rewards available on the site, which you'll be able to see. And so maybe if there's a reward that piques your interest, maybe that'll incentivize you a little bit to contribute to this film getting brought to life. I'm really excited that this film is going to be made. We're hoping to film it in July. And it's a project that I was so passionate about, to the point where when I was considering whether or not I still wanted to produce, I knew that this one was one that I would want to be a part of. I want to end this episode by sharing 2 quotes that really resonate with me at this time. Maybe they will inspire you. These are all from the account Yumi Sakugawa. We've already mentioned her in our episode about IG quotes. Are you evolving or revolving? And here are some recent ones that they have put up on their Instagram. What if disappointment only made you more determined? What if you saw all disappointments and failure and mistakes and rejections as interesting and fascinating learning experiences and creative dynamic life experiments? What if every step of the creative process was its own desired outcome and destination? Doesn't that make you want to try everything? And the second quote is, what if it's okay to call an extra support for nurturing your creative practice instead of muscling your way through all by yourself? You can call in friendship, mentorship, creative communities, community resources, ancestral assistance, your higher self, the wisdom of trees, the wisdom of the ocean, the wisdom of the stars, your inner child, your furry companion, your loved ones, your spiritual ancestors, people who are not related to you by blood, but who you feel a soul kinship with, your heroes and role models, workshops, books, companionship. I share all this for any of you who are in a creative rut or maybe just feeling some low motivation in life and maybe are looking for some new ways and new perspectives to look at life and to be energized by it. I myself, while I'm very physically exhausted from all the traveling and all the events that have been going on, I do feel really inspired and really energized by all that has been happening. And I am just excited for the rest of the year to unfold. I'm excited to see what other Bamboo and Glass episodes we're doing. For the record, I have no idea when our next episode is going to be, so you and I are going to be privy to a surprise of what the next episode is. So with that, I hope you enjoyed this little personal update from me, and next time, Sophia will be joining us for our next episode, and so I hope you can look forward to that. In the meantime, definitely give us a follow on Instagram, and we're on TikTok now, at Bamboo and Glass. And if you're interested in supporting us in any way, you can check out bottom of the episode description. We have a couple ways you can support us, whether it's through Buy Me a Coffee, inviting us to your organization, school, company to host a workshop, or sharing out our episodes with your loved ones. That is always the most meaningful. And if you ever have any suggestions or reactions to share, our inbox and DMs are always open for you. So with that, I hope you have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye!